desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening or good morning, wherever you may be across this great land of ours. And beyond, actually, from the island of Guam, Ziroc in the west, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north all the way to the pole, and worldwide on ye olde internet. This is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm Art Bell, and I'd like to welcome KMLB in Monroe, Louisiana, a place where I once lived for a short time, as a matter of fact. 1440 on the dial there. Big signal, and so welcome, KMLB, Monroe, Louisiana. Listen, I've got a lot to say about Howard tonight. We'll get to that in a minute. First, I want to try to be in a good mood. And you've got to see my webcam photo tonight. A doctor with a sense of humor. That's what we've got. Dr. Lorraine Day. You remember? I wonder how many of you heard the show I did with Dr. Day. We were talking about vegetables, and I was saying that the lima bean is the most useless piece of vegetable that a human being could ever consider consuming. It is foul in every regard, in any regard. I mean, you look at a lima bean, it looks bad. The texture of a lima bean is enough to cause a person to choke. The taste of a lima bean is definitely enough to cause a human to choke. I've always hated lima beans. I told Dr. Day when I was young, we had a rule in our house, you eat everything on your plate or you don't get dessert. That was a big rule. And I love the dessert, so I swallowed my lima beans whole, one at a time, like pills, green pills. Put a lima bean in there, drink a little milk, swallow it whole. Till you finally get to your dessert. Well, Dr. Day sent me a box of chocolate covered lima beans in a special box. Chocolate covered lima beans with a taste that is simply out of this world. She made a special box for him. And if there's anything that I think would be unless it totally erased the texture, feel, touch, and taste of a lima bean, there is no amount of chocolate that could cause me to eat a lima bean. And she writes that she doesn't approve of the chocolate, but if that'll get me to eat lima beans, fine. Well, it won't. But I did take a picture of the box of chocolate-covered lima beans. Good Lord. I took a picture with the special box she sent me. Thank you, Dr. Day. Well, all right, here we go. Lead story this hour. An unseasonably warm first day of spring led to a second straight day of rolling blackouts across the entire length of the state in California Tuesday. Well, Californians fear could be a preview of this summer. Oh, you bet. The electricity went out in a half million homes and businesses from San Diego to the Oregon state line. Air conditioners and refrigerators stopped humming. Trucks blinked out, went dark along with computer screens. All this began at about 9:30 in the morning, lasting up to 90 minutes in any given neighborhood, and continued until about 2 p.m. The keepers of the state's power grid ordered the blackouts after electricity reserves dwindled to almost nothing. Now, this country is run by idiots. And after the program last night, I guess some people misinterpreted what I said. I don't mean the current idiots only. The last administration, the Clinton administration, as far as power policy is concerned, they were idiots. In fact, every administration going back to, you've got to give Carter brownie points, he tried with respect to energy, but he was the only one. The Clinton administration did a big 8 years of big fat zero, nothing. Nothing. Why are we not moving to alternative power? Do you realize, just in California, for example, to alleviate the present situation, I say again, the present situation. You're dealing in a few percentage points up near saturation of the grid in California. to alleviate the current situation would not take that much solar, wind. We look at any of them, solar, wind, geothermal. California has those resources. Now, wait a minute, they've got a coast, so they've got all that ocean energy they could be using. My point is, whether it's solar, wind, or any of the other methods of generation, the green methods of generation, we're not doing them. And it's not just California. It's everywhere else as well. New York City, a lot of people are wanting New York City to put an emergency plan, power plan into place before summertime gets here. I mean, this is just the beginning of spring, folks. It's only just warming up. It's not hot yet. Just wait till it really gets hot. Sacramento, it can get just like it is here in the desert, way up there, and everybody's going to turn on air conditioning, and those compressors are going to go thumpity-thump, and your power grid is going to go bleep. That's what's going to happen. But I want to strongly make the point that, as far as I'm concerned, save the Carter administration, which tried, every damn administration that we've had in office, bar none, has roundly ignored alternative power to the point where, in my opinion, if they weren't politicians, they'd be criminally negligent. Criminal negligence. That's what it would be if they weren't what they are, immune from that sort of thing. They're absolutely clueless. The word I used last night, I'll use again tonight. It's insanity. This is not future shock. This is not something that we could be doing in the future if the technology evolves properly. All of this technology is available now. And I'm not talking about any free energy trip. Maybe one day there will be free energy. But that day isn't today. Everything costs something, and solar still costs quite a bit of money, no doubt about it. As I pointed out to you last night, I've got enough solar and wind power here to run my house. That's very expensive to do. But if people just did a little bit, if they used the newer bulbs, for example, in their house, instead of this, do you know that, for example, there's a bulb sold by Philips and other people sell it, and it uses 20% of the energy. Take, for example, a 60-watt bulb. It produces 60 watts of light, just like any 60-watt bulb, but it uses 20% of the power. Now, if people in California were using those instead of what they're using, wouldn't have a problem now. Think about it. If a few percent of you out there had solar power and you were feeding the grid with what you weren't using, wouldn't have a problem out there. Wind power, very attractive in some areas. Ocean power, thermal power. But I think I would center my attention right now on solar power because it's there. You can go buy it right now. And it works. And these people are absolutely clueless. I mean, what do we see? I picked on the Bush administration because they're the ones responding to the headlines right now. And what do they respond with? I see pictures of trucks with coal piled high. I see wishes and hopes and recommendations to drill for more oil in Anwar and elsewhere. Well, in the short term, you can bet we're going to have to do that. But it's absolute insanity to begin to do that and not say one word about the future because, this stuff isn't going to be around that long. The oil's going to be gone eventually and not very far down the line. The coal, the clean coal is going to be gone and we'll have to use dirtier and dirtier coal. So they need to get off their duffs. They really need to get off their duffs and begin to get a clue. So for those who said I was a communist pinko tree hugger, fine. But I wanted to be sure you understood that as far as I'm concerned, it, you know, all of this applies to every administration I can think of for all my life, including the present one, with the exception of Jimmy Carter, who sort of tried in that category and didn't get very much done. And I think when Reagan got in office, he had whatever Carter had put in the White House torn down. Good green symbol, huh? And Ronald Reagan was one of my favorite presidents, to be sure. But in terms of alternative energy and looking to the future, I mean, that's what our leaders are supposed to do, right? They're supposed to look into the future, and they're supposed to begin planning for it today. That's what leadership means. Can you imagine working for a company that has around 500 employees and posts the following statistics? 29 have been accused of spousal abuse. Of that 500, 7 have been arrested for fraud, 19 accused of writing bad checks, 117 have directly or indirectly bankrupted at least 2 businesses, 3 have done time for assault, 71 cannot get credit cards due to bad credit, 14 have been arrested for drug-related charges, 8 have been arrested for shoplifting, 21 currently defendants in lawsuits, 84 have been arrested for drunk driving in the last year. Can you guess what organization that would be? It's the 525 members of the U.S. Congress, the same people who are helping you out with the energy crisis right now. And again, here's another one, typical, right? This one a little less strident. Mr. Bell, last night you castigated the current president for not providing leadership on alternative fuels. Did the previous administration provide such leadership? Hell no. Hell no. Of course they didn't. So in case you were thinking that I was lambasting only the Bush administration, wrong. They're all guilty. It's just that the Bush administration is the current guilty one. Carter didn't do Clinton didn't do a damn thing for 8 years. Not for 8 years. We sat on our duff. So why should we be surprised now? California has power problems. Big power problems. What about the rest of the country? We might begin to have them too. Duh. This has been building for a long time. And still we do nothing. Still we do absolutely nothing. Enjoy the blackness, son. And I have gotten such a good ghost story here. I may dig it out. This is such a good ghost story. We've got a couple of guests coming next hour, and we'll see what they have to say. Jeannie Porter and Diana Burney. And, you know, they wrote to me. They wrote a pretty interesting letter to me, and that's why they're on. They said, as predicted by Gordon Michael Scalion in his newsletter, issue 37, October of 94, that's some time ago now, he stated that astral entities would be on the increase and would be creating great psychic disturbances. Our work confirms this prediction as truth. During the past 18 months, we have noticed an almost exponential increase in entities with our clients and these people who cleanse these sorts of things. But they say that we are going through what Gordon Michael Scalion predicted would occur, an exponential increase in entities, things creating great psychic disturbances. It almost goes back to a show we did the other day about evil and that sort of thing. So we'll see what these gals have to say. I think they're in Florida. Let me see. Jacksonville, Florida. Yes. All right. Let us take a few phone calls, shall we? Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right, sir. How are you?
Hey, I just want to know how those chocolate llama beans taste, man.
I wouldn't have the slightest idea.
Oh, you haven't
there would
eaten
be
them?
No possibility that I would bite into something advertised as a chocolate llama bean.
Not even chocolate? Oh.
No, unless there was a way to scrape the chocolate carefully away from the offending llama bean. No, there'd be no way, sir. Thanks for asking, but I wouldn't have a clue as to how they taste. I can close my eyes, and I can imagine. I mean, who in their right mind would foul chocolate with a lima bean? Chocolate is chocolate. It's a pure, wonderful thing. A lima bean is a foul vegetable indeed, and putting the two together is almost nauseating. However, thank you, Doctor. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Finally got on our bell.
Well, I don't know.
Right from Cleveland.
You do seem to be on the air, yes. You're in Cleveland?
Yes.
Okay. What's up?
About time travel.
What about it?
Is it possible?
Well, I don't know. Where do you want to go?
1880s.
1880s? Why?
Because it was a more romantic.
So you think you'd find romance in the 1880s?
Yeah, every Western movie I saw had it.
Yeah, but, you know, those Western movies had other stuff, too. They had people who killed people, you know, because they didn't like the way they played cards, so...
I saw that before. I saw a lot of movies.
They also, they hung people.
Oh, yeah.
By the neck.
Woo!
Oh, yeah. So, you know, some of it might be romantic in between the rest of it. You still sure you want to go?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, now, is there time travel? That's probably the eternal question. Is there time travel? I think there is. I think that time travel will be known, generally known to be something that is going on shortly. And if you just close your eyes for a moment and you imagine that if there ever is going to be time travel, and if travel into the past is going to be possible, then the time travelers are no doubt here now. They're coming, going, visiting certain areas and times for certain reasons, either because they can change the timeline ahead, or just as tourists. You never know. Probably some of them coming back now to see the great California blackouts of '01. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
I'm calling from California.
Yes.
In the dark.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. No, my lights are off.
Well, no, not at this time of night.
No, my highest bill's only been $20.
$20?
$20.
What do you use, just an electric toothbrush?
No, just one light.
One, you have one light?
Only one light on at a time. There's no light on now.
So, in other words, you exist in one room with one light?
Well, at a time.
Uh-huh.
And a radio. No, anyway. I was listening to you last night. I thought I read somewhere.
I bet the electric guys who come to read your meter look at that thing and they go, what's wrong? $20, that can't be. Nobody gets a
$20. I know, less than a thermogas, too.
Nobody gets a $20 power
bill. Should I fax it to you? I don't have a fax.
Oh, no, I believe you. Sort of.
I swear to God.
Okay.
It used to be $14, but it's gone up $6.
Well, all right, there you are. So that's your percentage of increase, even though...
That's right, that's my percentage.
You're a power angel, but still, that tells you what's happened to people. What part of California are you in?
I'm in the Bay Area. I'm in Oakland.
Right, well, it's a lot worse in San Diego.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyway,
I wanted to say, didn't Bush, one of the first things he did at the White House was take down the solar panels Jimmy Carter put up?
Oh, no, that was Reagan. You mean Reagan, yeah, he did.
Okay.
He did. What a great gesture, huh?
Not too
smart. I mean, what have we done since? Any president.
Nobody's done anything?
Zero, nothing.
We're just sitting here waiting for something to happen.
Well, it's happening. And that's my whole point. It's happening now.
I know.
And we're still doing nothing. What's their answer? To use the crisis to promote drilling in Anwar and much more use of coal, which is going to get progressively dirtier.
Right.
That's the plan.
More global warming.
That's the plan.
All right, take care.
Yeah, we all better take care. There's a great plan for you. More oil, and I forget the percentage of that we are now dependent on the Middle East for oil, but it's way, way up there. If you think we were dependent in the 60s, Man, you ought to take a look at what the percentage. 60% maybe, a little bit better than that, something like that. We're really dependent. And if they get angry, they can cut us off, and we'll be sleeping in another bed. From west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1220. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
Ah, good morning. How are you? Somebody eternally asking in the fast blast, do I ever read these things? Yes, I do all the time. Chris in Eugene, Oregon asks, Art, would you rather eat chocolate-covered bugs or your beans? I think that chocolate-covered bugs, depending on the bug, you'd have to specify the bug, and lima beans are right on up there near a coin toss. All right, back to it. And one more thing about the damn blackouts in California and soon probably elsewhere. You know, I don't really care whether it's the power companies that are doing this, whether it's poor planning that did it, whether there's just not enough energy, whether this plant or that plant is offline, whatever it is. The fact of the matter is that at the margins, right now, soon, if anybody was doing it, if anybody was talking about it, we could be having enough solar and wind power and other alternative measures to stop it. Whatever is causing it, let's not even have that argument. Who cares? It's happening. So we could make the difference at the margins. No, we couldn't put up enough solar and wind to power the state of California, and we couldn't do that for quite a while. That would be quite a significant project, if not presently impossible. But to do it at the margins, to prevent what's going on right now, you bet your bippy we could do it. All it takes is the will. We had a president stand up and say, let's go to the moon, and we went. Surely we can keep the power on in California, keep lights on in California. We want to. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, I'd like to talk to Art Bell.
Okay, that might be possible. You, of course, you know, he would tell you to turn your radio down right away.
Yeah, I know.
Uh-huh. But then the radio would be going on.
Oh, it is you. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm calling from Florida, and I agree with you totally about the power situation, and it really angers me. You know, we live out in the country, and we have about 5 acres, and right before Y2K, I called a solar company.
Good for you.
And had to, yeah, but unfortunately, to do my house would have cost me about $30,000.
Yep.
So it's incredibly expensive.
Yeah, if you want to, you know, people have no idea how much power they really draw. The fact of the matter is they
mm-hmm.
draw a lot of power.
That's
and
right.
And if you want to put in enough alternative energy to really take care of everything, yeah, you're spending 30 or 40 grand.
Well,
and the average person absolutely can't do that. However, ma'am, they can do something a little less. You don't have to power your whole house.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a solar panel, an inverter, which will supply probably cleaner power than the electric company sends you, and you can partially subsidize what's happening at your house for a whole lot less money.
Okay, but I'd like to, you know, say a couple of things. First of all, anyone that hears my voice should call or contact Bush, and everybody should be outraged by this. Everybody should contact the congresspeople. And the other thing that we found that we could do here, you know, because I am out in the country, I know a lot of people can't do it, but I don't use my clothes dryer anymore. I hang my clothes out.
That's good. That saves a lot.
Yeah. If people realize when they're out working all through the day, they don't have to have their water heater on. So we turn it off during the day because we don't use it.
That's also true.
So, and that saves an awful lot of power.
There is a slight trade-off. In other words, when you have your water heater off, then when you do turn it on, however electrically or with gas, you heat your water, it's got to take it from cold all the way back up to whatever temperature you normally have it at. So,
well, save a lot on my electric bill.
I would imagine you do, ma'am. Thank you. Yeah, everybody has to save. Unfortunately, we're in a present circumstance where we really do have to do that. I tell you, I think we're really, really headed for trouble this summer. Supposedly, you Californians were all taken care of with all the extra money to buy the power, but gee whiz, the power's going out anyway, and that was on the first warm day. Try to imagine what's going to happen when the temperatures in Sacramento and Fresno and all those areas that really inland California, actually just about anywhere, begin to go up to the desert temperatures and the air conditioners click on. Oh, God. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Ricky from Santa Barbara.
Hi, Ricky.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
I just wanted you to know that a long time ago, I heard a really wonderful speaker. His name is Fletcher Prouty.
Yes.
He was talking about the fact that we actually do not have a shortage of oil at all. He's a man of some notoriety, so it would be wonderful if you had him on the show. And
dear lady, at present rates of consumption, in probably 35 years, all the oil in the world is going to be effectively gone.
I hear you saying that, and from what he said, he has a different story, and I thought you might just want to know his name.
Colonel
Fletcher Prouty.
I appreciate all that, but if you consult with nearly any geologist, they will tell you what they know about how much oil is left, and there's a consensus on that. It's not much in contention.
Gotcha. And I fully support what you're saying and what you're doing, and I'm very happy that you're speaking on this issue because it's very close to a lot of our hearts, and it would be a serious crime if they drill in Anwar, and we should be sending
I don't even know about that. Listen, I'm not going to say it would be a serious crime for them to drill in Anwar. The fact of the matter is that Alyeska proved that they could put in an environmentally friendly pipeline, and it was. No tragedies associated with the pipeline. Yeah, a ship dumped a bunch of oil, but no tragedies with the pipeline. As a matter of fact, they found that a lot of the wildlife liked the pipeline. It was warm. They cuddled up to it. It meant it resulted in more mating, because I guess they were happy animals up against that warm pipeline. And they did it. So it may be possible that we can drill in Anwar, but that's not my point. Or they even should drill in Anwar, because in the short term, we are going to need oil, and we are going to need coal. I say again, in the short term, we have to have them. That's what makes our economy go round. Better begin to damn well change what makes our economy go round. We better plan for the short term and the long term. And my complaint is not that we're planning for the short term. We do plenty of that. Let's plan a little bit for the long term. Let's begin to change it at the margins. Quickly. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Turn your radio off, please.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
I just wanted to say that really back you up on what you're saying about the solar thing.
Yes, sir.
And I can't believe that some people would call you the whole commie pink thing and all that. You just have to question, like, what their what their motivation is. Like,
well,
what is
it? It's political. In other words, last night I reserved my comments for what we're doing right now, which to political reactionary people meant, he's attacking George W., you see. And so they reacted to that. It doesn't matter whether they think I'm right or wrong on the issue. They can't stand hearing their favorite politician attacked. Well, I'll attack every single one of them, save Carter, on this issue, and they're all dummies.
Well, and plus they probably have oil money on their mind, but then you have to think, as far as the economy and everything, what about all the businesses that would be losing business and money and time if the power went out?
Uh-huh. You know, the power failure yesterday was right through a very important part of California where they do a lot of chip work, where there are computers everywhere, Silicon Valley, and that's where the power went out. Do you have any idea what it does to a company in manufacturing to have the power suddenly just go out? It will eventually, actually, it'll drive them out of the state eventually, and California will begin to lose yet more businesses. So
exactly. Well, can I ask you one question?
Yeah.
When you say that it's really expensive, and I know the previous caller gave the estimate of how much it would have cost her to power her house.
Yep.
Is that just an initial setup cost that's
expensive? Oh yes, yes, that's exactly what it is.
And
but
then once you get past that, then it's,
well, obviously it's amortized over years, and eventually, because it's still there generating power, green power.
Right.
Yeah, sure. Eventually you'll make a profit, but it'll take a long time.
Okay.
The point is that if just a small percentage of people did even a small percentage of that, we wouldn't be in trouble right now.
Exactly.
All right, thank you. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Arthur. Is it Dave in Denver?
Yes, Dave.
Hi, I have a headline for the year 2051 for you.
All right.
Okay. Last human laid off, Dow rockets to 90,000.
Yeah, by then, I guess the machines will have taken over, huh? Entirely.
Probably so.
Yeah.
If corporate America has its way. Say, I'd love to hear you talk, discuss your impressions of South Africa some night.
I can give you one word.
Okay.
Dangerous.
Dangerous?
Dangerous.
Now, there are many tortured souls wandering around South Africa.
Well, I'm sure there are many, many, many tortured souls. South Africa is really having a problem, and their problem is that they have been freed and they don't know how to handle freedom, and it has turned into anarchy, and serious anarchy. You think we have crime in some of our streets here. There, if you go out, you better have armed bodyguards with you. Semi-automatic weapons would be good.
Did you have any problems when you were there?
Automatic weapons better. No, because I didn't go into the cities, but I read their newspapers while I was there, and to them, a crime is the norm now, the norm in the cities. In fact, I saw people in any number of South African cities that, you know how here in America you'll see people, the sign says, I'll work for food, right?
Right.
We'll work for food, something like that. In South Africa, they beg for money by holding up a sign that says, I don't do crime.
My goodness.
Does that help you out a little?
Well, that's a shame because, you know, I mean, it's a cliche, but it truly is a beautiful country, and it's just been so messed up.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate the call. First time caller on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Ben from Utah.
Hi, Ben.
I'm talking about you on Art Bell on IRC.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Okay. I know, and there are several IRC chat rooms.
Yes, and I have a UFO sighting story for you.
Is it recent?
About 2 years ago.
Okay. Usually on the air, we try to hold it to recent sightings, but what did you see?
Well, I was at a camp, and I was just looking at the sky, and all of a sudden I saw this bright light in the sky with a huge comet. It was going at the exact angle of the mountain.
With a huge what now?
A huge comet. Like a tail.
So you weren't seeing a comet. You were seeing something with a tail.
Yeah.
Yes?
And it just went to the bottom of the mountain, and it went straight down at the bottom.
Well, it's very likely that you saw a falling bolide or something of that sort. Or something with pods and seeds. And if you'd remained in that camping spot, something eventually would have crawled over that hill you spoke about. And all we would have found would have been some toenail clippings. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Yeah, Art.
Yes.
I wanted to talk to you about the energy bubble.
Good, go ahead. You're using a cell phone, aren't you?
Well, it can only be on here for about 30 to 35 seconds. I'm going to tell you something very profound.
But be profound, then.
The oil is being extracted from OPEC for a reason.
Oh, yes. We need it.
No, we need it, but...
Yeah, I know. We're doing a smart thing. In other words, let's use OPEC's oil up first and then use our reserves. Is that right?
Well, that's true, but it has a lot to do with other things. I talked to you a couple years ago about secret societies.
It has to do with secret societies?
Well, lo and behold, the man I told you that was going to be in office, George W., is in office. So.
The Order of the Oil.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. All right, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
So are we talking about specifically energy? Or?
I don't know. You talk about anything you want to. It's open lines.
Okay. Who is the fellow in New York? This is James from Worcester, by the way.
You're on another cell phone, aren't you?
I am.
I'm damned to hear these cell phones. Do I sound to you gurgly?
No, you're pretty clear, actually.
You're not. You sound like you're underwater. Anyway, go ahead.
I apologize. So who was your alter ego there in New York that you bumped his show an hour and he was looking to cheer us all up?
Talking about Curtis, right?
Yeah. Sliwell, was it?
Curtis Sliwell, yes.
Sliwell, yeah.
What about him?
Well, he was looking for the cure for art bellitis. He had that whole thing going on.
The cure for art bellitis?
Do you remember his whole thing?
Does he like itch?
I don't know. I'm not sure what the symptoms are.
Anyway, what's the deal?
You play this commercial as this ongoing thing for a while, and I drive a... you there?
You said I drive a, and then you blanked out. I mean, this telephone connection sucks. Hello? Now he's gone altogether. You see, that's what I mean. Why do people use telephone, and why do people even sell telephones like that? They call that telephone communication. You just heard it just as I did. Totally next to useless. What a giant step behind for mankind. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Just a couple of choice comments on the power crisis here in California.
Yes.
I'm in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
In 1999, the state of California spent $17 billion to purchase electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And this year they will spend $70 billion, yet the increase in demand has only gone up 4% in that period.
Mm-hmm.
There's a three-problem thing. One is that we have power companies exploiting the situation through the deregulation.
Mm.
The other is we have a San Onofre power plant down that supplies power to over a million customers.
Mm-hmm.
And the third is we have a government that is does not respond to the disaster that they are participating. This is like a very violent savings and loan debacle.
Yeah, I know, but, none of that, whatever it is, we could argue that until we're blue in the face about what's doing this. I don't care if we began to put up alternative power. It wouldn't mess everything in the world is supply and demand.
Just a point is if the state of California decides to seize back the power companies here that are transferring power to other states, it's all on you people.
Well, that may be. But you're missing my point. I mean, you're arguing, so what?
Well,
if everybody begins to put a little bit alternative power onto the grid.
We are doing that. Anyone in the state of California who does any type of solar, any type of their own generating through natural gas, et cetera, the state is already covering costs for 50% of that conversion.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what else they can do, but we have a bunch of rip-off, shyster artists that are doing this, and they're always, it's all in the name of free markets, but there are no free markets. The market is busted.
Yeah, but the people can affect supply and demand.
We are the number one, as of today, we're the number one conservation state in the nation. I don't know what else we can do.
Well, we can begin generating power. That's what we can do. We can begin talking to people. This is something people can do. I mean, forget writing to your congressman or writing to the president. We know what they're all about. Just start doing it yourself.
My only advice is whatever you do, don't sell your power plants if they're municipally owned. Don't sell them to anybody.
Well, you're talking about deregulation, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I obviously it didn't work there in California. And it's interesting, there's a lot of other states that are considering deregulation, and they're still considering it. And what they're saying is, well, you know, California had the right idea. They just didn't do it the right way, but we're going to do it the right way.
Well, you know, you got it right, though. We've got a bunch of idiots managing the power grid.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I know the idiocy. The idiocy flows from the top down. I appreciate your call, sir. And believe me, it's all the way through the grid. There's no question about it. But just to emphasize one more time, I'm not just talking about George Bush, although obviously the news is about him because he's the current president, but Clinton sat on his butt for 8 years. 8 years. 8 long years he sat on his butt on this issue. Anyway, we're going to turn our attention to other things, to Florida and a couple of young ladies and what they have to say about ghosts.
At 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach our at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to call out on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
It certainly is. Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. Coming up in a moment, Ginny Porter and Diana Burney. And they're on the air because they sent me a very interesting fax about what they do. They suggested that as Gordon Michael Scallion, in his newsletter, issue 37, 1994, stated, astral entities would be on the increase and would be creating great psychic disturbances. Their work, they explain, confirms all of this is true. During the last 18 months, they have noticed an almost exponential increase in entities. They have clients. They clear these kinds of things, apparently. But they have noticed a gigantic increase, and that's the main focus of my interest is, well, you know, we talked for quite a while about real evil in this world versus the evil inside man. And I tend to think there really is real evil. We'll talk to them about that a lot more in a moment. All right, now to Florida and Ginny Porter and Diana Burney. Welcome, you two.
Hi, Art. This is Ginny Porter, and we're very, very happy to be here.
Okay, we'll see if we can identify your two voices. That's Ginny and Diana. You're there?
Yes, this is me.
Okay. You caught my attention with this, with this fax you sent me about Gordon Michael's prediction that things, as we progressed in what I call the quickening, would begin to get pretty frantic with entities or, ghosts. I don't know what we're going to call them, and we'll discuss all that, but all of this would begin to increase exponentially, and you're saying it's true, it has done so in the last 18 months?
Well, yes. I've been following Gordon Michael since his newsletters first came out, I think 91, 92. I'm not sure exactly when I started taking them. And I also have been doing this process of remote clearing since 1992. So I've been tracking it for, almost 9 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed now in the last 18 months that we're finding more people that are becoming more aware of unseen energies, and more people are becoming aware of where they're finding it, and more people are seeking to have these energies removed.
What are they?
What are the energies?
What are they? Yes, what are the energies? Are we talking about ghosts, things that were previously physical humans?
Yes, we're talking about that. We're talking about demonic energies. We're talking about vibrational influences, voodoo energies, fragmented souls, members of the Dark Brotherhood, the evil energies.
Well, wait, slow up. You're getting ahead of me. What are fragmented souls? That's the first time I heard that one.
Oh, well, fragmented souls are when part of an entity leaves, but the other part is attached to someone they love, to a possession, to a revenge, to an ideal, and so it doesn't all completely leave.
So you're suggesting that part of a, when you die, part of a person's soul could, for some reason, just a part of it though, remain earthbound.
Yes.
And the rest of it goes on to whatever's next.
Yes. You find this a lot. There's some of the cultures, like the Native Americans and the shamanic cultures, actually do soul retrievals and bring back those parts that are splintered. And there is a belief system that we have different checkout points in our life over the blueprint of our life where we actually have a choice to stay or go.
Do you girls think that a spirit could be trapped? And I mean, actually, you remember Ghostbusters?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
We love that.
Do you think that energy could be trapped?
Yes, it absolutely
spirit,
is trapped.
Spirit energy.
Sure, it does. It
and I just don't mean like trapped on the earth plane, but I mean trapped and confined in an area. I know it sounds weird, but I had a guy who called, years ago now, and he had a bunch of electronic equipment set up and actually claimed to have trapped a spirit within a specific area in a room, so it could not get out. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
I haven't heard of anything specifically like that, but we have removed lots of negative energies from computers.
Negative energies from computers?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you change from Microsoft to some other system?
That's a good one. Some of the off-planet energies come in through the circuitry and the technology.
You know, that just might be. I mean, there are people I know that have... There's really no answer at the end of the day for what's wrong with their computer. It's just it's destined to be an evil computer. And when I say evil, I mean it will continue to do upside down awful things, driving its owner to thoughts of suicide. You know, it really gets that bad. If you're into computers, occasionally you can get a computer that, despite all the best logic in the world, is doing things that are unaccountable.
People say they have gremlins in their computer or it's possessed. We hear that a lot.
Well, most times I think it's cockpit error, you know, but there, I really do believe there are computers that it seems there is no logical explanation at all for what they're doing. I mean, they will continue to crash and cause trouble, and every program you run will have a problem. The blue screen of death is around every corner, and no matter what you look into or what operating system you replace, it doesn't matter, they still crash and burn. Think that's right, huh?
I'll take your word for it.
Well, you were the one that said computers seem to be possessed almost.
Well, we spend a lot of time, when we clear businesses, we spend a lot of time clearing out the computer systems, so we found that to be true, that they can be just as manipulated as people.
What happens to us ladies when we die?
Well, everybody has different belief systems. My belief system is that there's just a continuation into another aspect of another dimension. And some people believe that and some people don't. Now, they can call it the borderlands, the shadow lands, the astral realm, the light, the other dimensions. I mean, there's many ways, and if you look through ancient civilization, all the other cultures have belief systems too, that there's something more.
Well, what about the main one in our culture, good old heaven and hell?
Well, you know, some people believe that Earth is the hell, and some people believe that there really isn't any at all. So I guess it comes down to your own belief system. I don't even know if it can be culture-wide anymore.
So you don't necessarily believe in a specific heaven and hell, then?
Yes, I believe there's a place where there's a God, and there's a higher power, and that's where people ultimately go.
And then the opposite, that there is an evil?
Yes, I believe there's a duality in our universe.
A real external evil, not the evil that man conjures up in his own mind, but a real external evil.
Yes, I believe that. I've been doing this remote work for almost 10 years, and I have come up against that more times than I want to remember.
Really?
Yes.
The late Father Malachi Martin, who I had the pleasure to interview extensively many times, didn't think there was evil. He knew there was evil. He was an exorcist, and had been an exorcist for years and years and years, and had exorcised real evil from people many times, and had come face to face in a psychic battle to the death with evil. And so he believed it thoroughly, and I believe him.
I say that I would probably believe that experience too.
Now, you said that psychic entities are really exponentially on the increase. Is there any delineation between the relatively harmless entities that you see and the darker entities that seem to be around a lot lately?
Art, we do see, this is Jenny Porter, and we do see a number of, in fact, a significant increase in the higher level energies, what we call the off-planet energies, and a lot of those from the astral plane, which are the astral influences, and the different, we have over 80 different energies that we check for that may be present, hopefully not all at the same time.
Have you actually categorized these separate 80?
Yes.
How many? Well, then I'm very curious, if you have, what percentage of these are, as you put it, off-planet?
Dear, I'm not even thinking about that right now.
We could probably say 40%.
40% off-planet.
Yeah.
And when you say off-planet, do you mean non-human, or as in fallen, or angels, or demonic entities, as in they were never human, or do you mean alien entities, or do you mean both?
We have both.
We have both.
Oh yes, we check for. I mean, ETs are. I mean, we, for instance, ETs is one of those 80 categories, and but there are a number of other areas too that are off the planet too. And but the ETs are more than just ETs for us, because there are different areas of ETs that we check for as whether the whether there are implants involved or whether there are what we call inner shadows and overshadows. I mean, there's it gets fairly complicated, and I really don't want to get into the details of each of the categories, but there are tremendous numbers of influences that ETs by themselves can have on a person. In fact, many, many times people call us and they feel they're almost ashamed to mention that they've had involvement with ETs, but so many more people now are calling us with those types of energies until it's become fairly, I won't say common, but it certainly is increasing.
Why do you think it's increasing? Any ideas?
Well, the Earth changes. You know, the Earth is so turbulent right now with the weather patterns and the global warming and everything that has been predicted is, you know, the hot spots are going all over the United States. And with the number of increase in energies, there's been more energies opening, coming into the planet, too. Some people believe it's portals. Some people believe it's old energy that was in the Earth that's opening up now to be released. I'm not real sure of the actual origins of these energies, but people are becoming more aware of it, and they're talking about it more. It's almost like the near-death experience 20 years ago when people experienced that, but they didn't know who to talk to about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now with movies like Sixth Sense and Ghost and a plethora of other movies out there, actually it corresponds to what people are experiencing, so they're talking more freely.
Well, then some would make the argument there aren't really more entities out there or bothering people or stuck on Earth or however you want to put it. They're just being talked about more. Is there something to that?
Well, I think people are becoming more aware of energies, and I do think that it's stepped up because of me doing this for almost 10 years.
If somebody were to call you and say, look, my life is a disaster. My love life, my personal life, my business life, every aspect of my life is a disaster.
That sounds like our typical call.
And it's a continuing disaster. It sounds like your typical call?
Yes.
Yeah. And I talked to, for example, a Dr. Evelyn Paglini. You may have heard her on the radio.
Thursday.
I don't know. Yes, that's right. And she said in many cases like this, people have had curses put on them.
Yes.
Do you run into that?
Yes, we do. We release curses, hexes, and spells.
How is a mother to know whether you're cursed or you're just having a string of horrible luck?
Well, you know, people really don't know, but they have a sense when so many, you know, when Murphy's Law goes all the time in their life, they have a sense that their life isn't working. And usually when we do find a curse, they're relieved because it makes sense what was going on in their life.
All right. Well, how many times after you all work your magic does the person call back and say, oh, God, thank you. I got a job. Life is better. I feel better. Things are going better for me. The moment you release that curse, there we go. How many times is that?
Well, I would see when we release the curse, we release all the other blockages that are keeping that person stuck. So it's a package deal.
Huh.
And I would say 95% of the time we get those calls.
A 95% success rate with those kind of calls?
Yes, because we probably get, I would say we average 4 referrals for every clearing we do, and it's all word of mouth.
You charge for what you do?
Yes, we charge for the clearings for the businesses and the people, but we do a substantial amount of service.
Pro bono work?
Yes. And we also do things like we spent 2 whole days releasing the trapped souls from the earthquakes in India. We released the Russian sailors that were in the submarine. We released the people trapped in China when the shopping mall collapse. We do things like that, you know, we just do as
pro bono work, yes.
Yes, uh-huh.
Suppose I were to call you, how much do you charge for a clearing, typically? I mean, I guess an average clearing.
For a person?
Yeah.
Okay, it's $125.
Dollars?
Yes. And it takes us a couple hours to do, and we're both working at it at the same time.
All right. Suppose I were to call you up, the two of you, and I would say, look, I don't know what kind of work you normally do, but I got $500 here for you if you can put a curse on Mr. X over there.
Oh, you got to be kidding, Art.
No, I'm never kidding about
that. We're on the wrong end.
We're on the devil. That would not be a possibility with us because we would never create a problem for ourselves.
How about $1,000?
No, there's no money in the universe that we could. In fact, not only that, but
there's always enough. $500,000.
There is
one
no,
curse.
There's no money. You could not give me Bill Gates' fortune for. I mean, believe me.
Well, there's days when I'd want the curse put on Bill.
Oh, I hope not.
No, I am trying to find out. In other words, you only work.
We're released. Earth release.
Earth.
We
Earth
just release.
We just release. We don't put.
Well, suppose that I mean you are in the business of psychic battles, right?
No.
Well, in a way you are though. It's a battle to get something released many times, isn't it?
Well, we have help. We work with other dimensions, and we actually do work with angels.
You work with angels and other dimensions, and you do all that for $125?
Yes.
That's really good. All right, hold on. We'll be right back. My guests are from Earth Release. They're Ginny Porter and Diana Burney. I'm Art Bell from the High Desert. This is Coast to Coast AM. Good morning.
At 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 775-727-1222. Or call the wildcard line at 775-727-1295. To talk with Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Any of you remember this? That's the night the lights went out in Georgia. Well, so far, it's only California. But no doubt Georgia's on the way. We've got two guests, Diana Burney and Ginny Porter, and they get rid of things, entities, whatever you want to call them, and that's kind of what we're in the process of finding out right now, what it is that we're dealing with here. Probably a variety of things, say 80. All right, back now to my guests, Earth Release, they call themselves, in Florida, Jacksonville, Florida, Ginny Porter and Diana Burney. And you're both back on the air again.
Yes.
All right, so you two, for no amount of money, I'm curious, do you have the ability, the wherewithal, if you wanted to put on a curse? If you can take them off, you would think you'd know how to put them on.
Anybody can put on a curse, Art.
Anybody can?
Anybody can.
Like the curse of the talk show host?
That's one of them.
The thing is, though, you would never, in all seriousness, though, you would never want to inflict harm on anyone.
Why not?
Because first of all, anything that you inflict on anyone is coming back to you. So why not send love or send something that's positive? Because whatever you send out, it's an absolute law.
Because there's some very rotten people in the world who deserve probably more.
But who are we to play God with anyone?
Well, if we have the power.
Oh, no. I'm saying who are we, though, to play God, you know, with anyone? And what? Because what happens is, Art, this, in all seriousness, this is something that's sort of very near and dear to my heart, because I see so many people that come to us, and I feel tremendous compassion for them, because when you realize what type of energies and entities and abuse that they've taken, then you have just incredible compassion, and you feel like, good grief, how in the world were they managing even doing what they were doing? And so
there are some people who do not deserve compassion. They're bugs.
They're
awful people. There are no awful people in the
world? I don't really think there are any awful people. I think that there are people that you wouldn't want in your energy field. But everybody is doing all that they can at this moment with all that they have to work with. That's the way I feel.
Do you ladies watch the headlines?
We try not to.
You try not to. Well, you ought to, because you'd revise your opinion. There are some bad people in the world. There's no doubt about it. Really terrible people.
Well, a lot of those people are possessed.
You think so?
Well, yeah. Oh, definitely. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's not that I'm acknowledging or accepting or any of their behavior at all, or even denying that that things should be done as far as putting them in prison or whatever. But the thing is, what I'm saying is, there are so many other reasons. Just because the energies are unseen, people just don't understand what's going on in their lives.
Well, I'm sure there are some possessed people, but there's a group of rotten people. I mean, just bad people. We are not a planet full of warm and fuzzy little creatures.
There is a duality on all levels.
For example, I wouldn't want to be anywhere near the energy field of, say, Charlie Manson. You think he's possessed?
I think he definitely is.
He is.
He definitely is.
Well,
in fact, I think many of the
multiple.
Multiple. How about a little pro bono work? I mean, now, you could really prove to the world, if 2 or 3 days from now or a week from now, Charlie's weaving baskets in his cell.
Yeah. Well, there's a problem with this. You see, if they're staying in the same environment where there's all sorts of other things that go bump in the night, then it's not going to stay clear. There's certain things people have to do to keep themselves protected and in a clear space. He wouldn't be interested in doing that, and B, he wouldn't be in an environment that would support that.
So in other words, you can clear somebody of these things, but they can come right back.
Well, not necessarily. The same energies do not come back, but if they go and have surgery, or they have an auto accident, or they go to a cemetery, or play with a Ouija board, or they go to a funeral parlor, they could pick up something else.
Mm. Do you ever have clearance sales?
No, but that's a good idea.
All right. What would be the toughest case that you've ever handled?
Probably Dome of the Rock.
Dome of the Rock?
In Israel.
Sounds like Desert of the Sea. Oh, in Israel.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And what did you do there?
Well, we got a group through the Internet. We arranged for a group of people that all would focus at the same time to relieve energies. We did that every week for 5 weeks before the peace talks. And the levels of energy, of negativity there were probably the most profound I've ever seen. The numbers, the quantity, huge quantity.
We also found that there were portals there, Art, and a portal for us is like, and for anybody, is like there's a hole that where negative energies can come into the earth plane.
Yes.
And we actually were given permission to, with the support that we had around the planet, to close those portals, and we found 5 portals.
Do you know, I have evidence of portals.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yes. The Bigelow Foundation has a ranch where a lot of very unusual things have occurred, And they documented with scientists who were there a portal opening with something, creature-like something, crawling out of it.
Oh, I believe that.
Well, yeah, so do I. And there's increasing evidence of other portals that may be open.
Oh, they're all the time.
And what do you think they're opening to?
Well, there's two portals opening. There's openings for higher energy to come in to help with all these earth changes, and then there's portals coming in to stop that from happening. So,
the yin and the yang again.
Yeah.
I see. Do you think right now, and this is something else I discussed with Evelyn, that on balance, when you look at everything that's happening in society, but you girls don't watch the news much, that the darker side is winning or the lighter side is winning?
There's no doubt. We believe the lighter side is definitely winning.
You
yeah,
do?
I agree.
Definitely.
One of the reasons is the prophecies that were all supposed to happen haven't really happened to the extent and the timing that they were predicted, and I believe a lot of that is because of the consciousness of the people.
Well, as you know, most difficult thing, it is said, in prophecy or even remote viewing is timeline.
Sure. There's no time and space on the other dimension.
And I'm sure since you quoted Gordon Michael Scallion, you've heard what he's had to say on the subject. Timelines are very difficult, even with the brightest picture that Mr. Scallion gets.
And the one, and just seeing it once.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, you think the light side is winning. That's interesting. Evelyn Paglini thought the dark side was definitely ahead right now, as evidenced by what's going on in society.
Well, our perspective is, Art, that people are calling, and they're telling us daily when they talk with us, and that they are ready to change, they're ready to get out of the rut, they're ready to move ahead, and they're tired of where they've been. So, you know, our focus is actually on the group that we work with, and they're increasingly coming to us for that.
Mm. How do you know that you two are not psychic placebos?
What would that be? What's the definition of one of those?
A psychic placebo? Well, a placebo in medicine is when you give somebody, let's say they've got arthritis, all right? They've got arthritis, and so you give them this arthritis pill, but it's really nothing but a sugar pill or whatever. You know, it doesn't actively do anything. But, you know, in a high percentage of the cases, when the people take those pills,
mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, my arthritis is so much better. I can move my hand now, that sort of thing. There's a high percentage of cure rate, and it's the placebo factor. And so I was wondering, how much of what you do is sort of a psychic placebo for people? They think you tell them you've gotten rid of whatever it is, and so by golly, they feel that it's gone.
That's an interesting question. I don't think we've ever explored that, but in the thousands of clearings that I've done, I found that I've been able to tell people things that they didn't tell me that were very specific that changed their life, that had nothing to do with their thinking it was gone, because they never shared that information with me in the first place.
Is there a lot of that kind of evidence that pops up?
Yes. I would say there's a high percentage of that type of evidence.
And where do you ladies think this information comes from?
Well, we both have developed some gift. We have psychic abilities that we've developed over time, and we both have different skills, and when we work together as a team, you know, it's magnified because we have more to work with. So I have certain gifts, and Ginny has certain gifts, and we get information that way. Plus, I use the pendulum to douse everything, and it's been very accurate in the last 9 years.
Dowsing is indeed very effective. I've watched my wife do it. And I've seen wells drilled, and I've seen exactly what she said come true. I know dowsing works. What I don't know is why or how. Do you?
No, I don't really think I could explain it either, because I know it's taken me a long time to get adept at it. Dowsing is only as good as the
sure.
The dowser is clear.
Sure, sure.
And it's taken me quite a while to get the confidence and the clarity to do that. So
do you think it's a talent inherent in all human beings at some level or another?
I don't think I'll answer that, Art, and I actually do not think that that's necessarily true. I think that everyone actually has psychic gifts, and it's a matter of exploring those. But psychic gifts is like the whole football field, and you can choose different ones. And but as far as, let's say, using dowsing as an example, I've tried dowsing, and I actually, it's very, very difficult for me because it's just something that I've realized it's not appropriate for me, and I get information in different ways.
Uh-huh.
So I think that it's a matter of determining or figuring out what it is that you do best, and then doing that and really putting your energy behind that.
And what is it you do best?
Well, one of my gifts is actually the gift of vision. In fact, when you were just talking about the psychic placebo effect,
yes,
one thought came to my mind was, we were working with a woman who owned horses down in the. We've worked with a lot of different horses, actually, and I love animals so deeply that I encourage it. And we were working with a horse, and she was riding around the ring, and the horse, when it reached a certain point in the ring, would just be terrorized. And she couldn't figure it out, and she found out about us and called us. And when we checked on the inner, because I have this gift of vision, I saw that there was an etheric blockage on the etheric level. And animals can see on the etheric level.
So you mean in one part of that ring there was something that horse didn't like?
Yes, absolutely. It was like a blockage right there, and I could see it very clearly too. And we actually released that blockage in that ring. And
do you know what it was?
Well, it actually looked like a gate that was sticking straight out from it. And I have no idea where it might have come from, but it was very clear to me.
A gate?
A horse
definitely would totally either freeze or stumble or try to jump or whatever if it perceived a gate in front of it. That's
and
really
that's exactly what was happening. And the woman was just beside herself.
Oh,
because
that's interesting.
And so what happened was, and we, of course, don't go into a lot of details, but, in fact, a lot of times we don't even hear, you know, because everybody goes on their happy way and they feel much better, and that's the way it should be, because we don't want people tethered to us. But in this case, the woman did let us know that after the clearing, the horse went around the ring and did not even have any problems at all.
That's pretty impressive.
And that's not that uncommon, because you'd be amazed at how many energies animals absorb for people. They're like sponges. And I just have, like I said, so much compassion. In fact, when we clear a home for a person, we clear the animals in the home as a gift, because we know, and it's time consuming for us, but they are just amazing at protecting the owners. Like if you had cats or dogs in your home, they would be absorbing the energies in your home and also protecting you.
Hmm. Animals do that?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Any particular animals more than others?
Yes.
Or, really?
Cats are very, very known for doing that.
And healing, too. Cats do a lot of healing for their owners.
But horses, I mean, it's very interesting to.
You guys know I love cats, and you're playing me, right?
No, we don't.
Everybody knows cats are sensitive.
Yeah. I mean, cats are truly much more sensitive to dogs with the energies. In fact, if you were to take, this has happened to us, where people a number of times have taken their cats into a new home, and the cat has actually passed away because the cat absorbed the intensity of the negative energy in that particular home.
That's really interesting. I wonder if that accounts for a lot of why cats get sick. Because they are absorbing something.
Well, based on what we have released from cats, and like I said, we have done it. Almost every single domestic cat we have released has been, you know, as a gift, and we do it, and we take just as much care with them as if they were an individual, because they're so sensitive.
You guys can't do anything about hairballs, can you?
Just etheric ones.
Hairballs. That's a big problem that cats have.
Uh-huh.
Hairballs.
Yeah.
Anyway, so cats are particularly, they're empaths then, right?
Oh, God.
What you're saying.
They really are. They are super protective.
And that's how, it kind of sounds like you guys are cats, empaths, too.
Well, no,
yes,
no.
We
no.
can be. We
no,
are.
Yeah,
we can.
The only thing about that is that's not quite true because we don't absorb the energies. And, in fact, we don't believe that people absorb the energies. There are people who actually ingest the energies and think they're transmuting it. And I think that is, you know, in my opinion, that's not the way to go with these energies because they're way too intense. And that's just not appropriate. So we do not handle the energies. We do not ingest the energies. We do not, you know, so in that way, we aren't empaths, you know, as far as the energies go, like cats are. Where cats actually, they attach to
them. But you don't absorb them to your own harm, though.
Right.
We're clairsentient. We are very tuned into energies, but we don't absorb them.
How do you you support your work, I suppose, by the $120 clearing fee, right?
Well, actually, we charge different rates. We do a lot of businesses, and we do a lot of homes and properties and work with a number of realtors. Because what happens is...
Oh, actually, I saw a news story that you sent that was done, I think, near Halloween or something like that,
mm-hmm.
About you all.
Yeah.
Specter of tainted homes raised. Should vendor be obliged to disclose grisly history?
Right.
Now, what was that all about?
That is actually something that's extremely interesting to us because people who have died in where you have homes that where people have died or there's been intense abuse.
Right.
Then there is in a number of states they require if somebody has passed away in a home that be acknowledged at the time of the sale.
How did you get involved? How did they come? Why were you part of this story?
Oh well, we were asked to clear the Versace mansion.
Versace.
Yes. And that had not been after the death, the tragic death of Versace. The home, of course, wasn't moving on the market. And it was a very unusual home, actually, too. It had been a hotel before a home. And so the realtors contacted us because they weren't getting much viewing for about a year. And we did a massive clearing on the home and property. And it sold within 5 weeks for $17 million.
Wow. Wow. All right. Yes, I've got that newspaper story here. All right, gals. Hold on. We're at the top of the hour. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM. 80 different varieties. It's more than the ice cream place has, I think.
Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903.
And I like it that way. Good morning, everybody. This is Coast to Coast AM. My guests right now are Jeannie Porter and Diana Burney, and they clear things. They're in the clearance business. About 80 different varieties, they say. We'll get back to them in a moment. All right. Back to the Spirit Busters in Jacksonville, Florida. That's where you guys are, you gals, right? In Jacksonville, Florida?
Correct.
Okay, I want to pause for a moment. I'm going to take your pause down, and I'm going to read you a story from a police officer in Jacksonville, Florida, all right?
Okay.
Okay, here it comes. Art, I am a police officer in Jacksonville, Florida. I've attached a story that I've meant to send you for a while now. I work midnights and listen quite often. Glad you're back, by the way. While working one summer evening shift, myself and another officer were flagged down by a local convenience store clerk. The clerk stated that an old black man went into the store and disappeared. The clerk said that she was about to go outside to smoke a cigarette when he drove up in a brown Cadillac and came inside. He walked past the store counter, which is all of 5 feet in front of the store. He smiled at the clerk and went into the men's restroom without uttering a single word. After about 15 minutes and the arrival of yet another person, the man had not returned from the restroom yet. Both ladies went to the bathroom door and knocked, asking if he was okay. No answer. They tried the doorknob. It was locked. After several more minutes, they went back and checked the door again. It opened, and no one was inside. Neither lady had left the store, and the man would have to have walked past them to leave the business. That's where myself and the officer come into the story. We check the entire building, inside and out, including trash cans, the suspended ceiling, the walk-in cooler. After several minutes of searching, we inform the ladies that he must have left without them seeing him go. However, the old Cadillac was still in the parking lot. So, we left the store and continued our patrol. Around an hour later, I heard from the other officer. He said he went back to the business. The car was gone, and he asked about the old man. Clerk told him that shortly after we left, the men's bathroom door opened, and the old man came out. He just smiled at her as he left in his Cadillac without saying a word to her. Well, about 2 years and a beat and shift change later, I was in the same store one day to get a drink. I told the clerk on duty about the old man, but not about the car. He asked me if he was driving a brown Cadillac and if the man wore a golf Kango hat. That's K-A-N-G-O, Kango hat, I guess. A bit shocked, I said that indeed he had been. The new clerk said that he had lived in the neighborhood behind the store all his life and that an old man had committed suicide behind the store several years before. He ran a hose from his exhaust pipe to inside the car, which happened to be an old brown Cadillac. Ladies, what was it that those people in that store and those police officers were experiencing? This man committed suicide in an old brown Cadillac behind that store.
Well, that's a discarnate soul. That's like in the Sixth Sense movie.
In other words,
that's a ghost.
That's a ghost.
And suicides are usually stay trapped.
Obviously, this man was trapped. Now, the eternal question I have when I have people like you on the air is this just sort of a repetitive tape loop? This poor man who committed suicide, destined for eternity to go through the same motions again and again, is this really his soul, his consciousness still here on Earth, damned to do that forever unless something intervenes, or is it just some sort of tape loop replay and, you know, he's going on to wherever he's going?
Well, I tend to go toward the first part of that he needs some intervention to help him move to the next level. And I do find in my experience that suicides do stay earthbound because they never resolved what they were trying to do when they were here.
Well, they were trying to end their life. They got that resolved.
Yeah.
I mean, they were basically saying, I'm out of here. For whatever their reason, they chose to say, I've had enough, I'm out of here. But the exact opposite occurs. They're here forever.
They kind of get trapped in between dimensions.
The other place that we find them, too, Art, is people who are killed instantly on the road or in bike accidents or just sudden death.
Yes.
And we're often called to find out if people are still actually earthbound, and then we, in some cases, find that they are, and others, they have been released over a period of time. They've actually gone on.
So then you find a lot of trouble around, well, you said, you talked about a couple yourself already, but plane crashes, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Mid-air collisions where people have no notification that they're about to die, just boom, they're dead.
Right, and like in the case of the Soviet sub that went down?
Yes.
When we checked on that one, I know, at the time, there were over 100 sailors.
Talking about the curse.
Sub. But when we checked it, as far as to see, if there were any discarnates trapped on it,
yes,
we only found 52, it was either 52 or 54 discarnates there. And so what that to me said was there must have been a sudden accident that killed a number of those sailors initially that they didn't have a chance to repair, because if you knew you were going, that is a much gentler way to depart than if it's a sudden jolt.
That's interesting. Because, you know, most people say they don't really want to linger around in some profound pain or terminal condition, and they'd just soon have a big old Mack truck hit them, and that'd be it.
Oh,
but that's not so good for the soul, huh?
Oh, no.
It causes a lot of confusion when it's that fast. There's no preparation.
Well, on the one hand, then, you've got profound pain and suffering, and on the other, you've got confusion.
Well, when the people have the profound pain and suffering, a lot of times they're tied to the family, too, or the family won't release them.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Families can say, have bedside, be hyper-vigilant and prayers and just hang on to this person who does want to leave. We see that, too, on the other end.
So it's kind of like until the family releases them, they don't get to go?
Right. It kind of ties them to the earth. And sometimes mothers don't leave because they're worried about their children.
But that's a function of love. I mean, if somebody were to lose their mate after 20 or 30 years of marriage,
mm-hmm.
or even less, it would profoundly affect the living partner, obviously, and they are going to grieve. And you're saying that grieving process holds or binds the spirit to earth?
Well, no, I'm not saying that necessarily, because the grief process is very important, and it takes a number of months and sometimes years to complete, because it is a process. But I'm saying that there are some pathological things that do keep people tied to the earth by grieving unnecessarily for someone and not letting them move on.
Well, that's what I mean, then, the grieving and the love and the fact that you're holding on to them in your mind, which is something we tend to do with people who leave us.
There's healthy grief and there's pathological grief, I guess. That's what I'm trying to make a distinction.
No, that's very interesting. There's pathological grief.
After 5 years, if you haven't gotten over the death of someone, that's pathological.
Huh.
I mean, not that you're going to forget them, but I mean, if you're still... you burst into tears in every moment. You haven't worked through the process. You're stuck somewhere in the process. So you need some counseling.
But the other thing I think the point we're trying to make is, Art, if you have someone who is in the dying process and you have a family around them who won't let them go, they almost can't bear the thought of being without them, mm. when it's more their need that they're concerned about and the loss of the person rather than the person's highest good as far as moving on to, the place where it's time for them to go. And that's the other thing we were trying to make, too.
All right. From my fast blast line, somebody brings up a subject I should have articulated a little better in the first place. They say, everything is wrong right now. We have children going into schools, shooting other children while they're smiling, enjoying the process as they shoot their schoolmates. It's going on more and more and more in our society, all kinds of quickening things, things that are increasing exponentially. Even you all are telling me that the number of entities is increasing exponentially. How can it be the good side is winning with all of this going on?
Well, I think we're staying more even because what the newspapers and the media do is they accelerate what the negative happenings. You don't hear a lot of good stuff on the news.
No, but I disagree with you. When I was in school, we didn't have these stories. In fact, I can't remember one. If it was one, I'd be shocked. Now, it's every few days you hear about a school shooting, students planning to poison their teachers, students killing other students and or teachers. It's almost as though an evil has been loosed on the world.
Well, it has increased. I agree with that. And the Earth's vibrations have increased, which has been documented scientifically. And time has increased because allegedly we have like a 45-minute hour now. So I think people are having trouble dealing also with these energies, and they're acting out.
What do you mean we have a 45-minute hour?
Well, what I've been reading from different sources, and I really can't quote you right now from where I read them, but that the Earth's axis has sped up and time is, you know, our time is shortened.
And so our hour isn't what we thought it was?
No, that's why people seem to be more stressed. Like they don't have enough time and they actually don't have as much time as they used to.
Well, let's see then. I'm not even doing a five-hour show, am I? Shaves 15 minutes off each hour.
Well, it might not be 15 minutes, but it really has shortened because of the increase in the Earth's axis and in the vibrations.
Is there a difference between your, I don't know if I can say this, average kind of entity presence and possession? And I'm talking about demonic possession.
Yes, I would say there's a difference. We call a possession from our viewpoint a takeover.
Yes.
And we find those many times when people have been in comas or nursing home situations where they're in vegetative states. We found them, too, when there's been a horrific auto accident and part of the person left and another entity came in.
Let me tell you something. Maybe this will resonate with you and maybe not, but there's a great deal of current research to indicate, it's not talked about a lot, but to indicate after somebody has undergone a very invasive procedure, for example, a heart bypass operation, that on the other side, once they've recovered and the blood is circulating around just fine, they're not the same. That their personality has materially altered. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not familiar with the research, but frequently people that undergo anesthetic or invasive procedures,
yes,
do have entities come in because their auric field, that area that protects us around electromagnetically around us,
they're
vulnerable.
They're vulnerable all
and,
of a sudden.
And one of the best places where you can find entities are in hospitals because all those entities have died. And also, there's a lot of research about transplants and taking on the
yes,
personalities
absolutely.
Of people because they're still attached, like soul fragments.
No, it's absolutely true. You're right about that. I'm sure you know the story about the lady with the heart and lungs. Or maybe you don't.
Well, there's a lot of stories. I don't know that one particularly.
Mm-hmm. This one was on several network level shows. And she got the heart and lungs of a young man. She was an older...
The beer drinking one?
Yeah, that's yes. The one. Uh-huh. That's the one. You've heard that, right?
Yes, uh-huh. I wasn't sure we were talking about the same one.
Uh-huh. And all of a sudden she had the cravings of a young boy and wanted all kinds of things that she would naturally never in a zillion years want. And then she ended up dreaming the name of the donor. What are the odds of that one?
Mm-hmm, right.
So, I don't know what that means. Does that mean that our soul or what we are is in the totality of our flesh and our body?
Well, my personal belief is that when I said that the soul could fragment,
yes,
it fragments or splinters off when there's traumas. And, of course, a sudden death where you would want a donor would be a sudden death.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a traumatic situation. So part of it still is there in the cellular memory.
Has there been a case that you have not been able to do anything about?
Oh, yes. Occasionally, we would not receive permission because we only do anything that we do, we must have permission from the person. And then Diana dowses before we do any work to make sure that the higher self gives us permission. So in a couple cases, and it's very, very, very rare, but we have received that information that we can't go forward.
You mean to say you could not clear an entity without permission?
Right. Yes, the person has to give permission because it's their body. We can't go in and take something away just because we think it's right.
Well, then what does an exorcist do? Because sure as heck, those things are not giving permission.
Oh, no. Well, the person is because they've hired the exorcist.
Yeah, but not the possessed person. Most times it's somebody in the family who throws up their hands and hires an exorcist because they've tried everything else.
Well, that's a little different than the league we work in, but we still get permission from another. We ask the universe, okay? We just ask the universe if we can have permission, and we almost always get permission to do that. It's very rarely that we are not allowed to do that, but basically, if you said if we've ever done anything we couldn't handle or get rid of,
yes.
As far as the clearing checklist and everything, the answer is no. We've always been successful removing
you
energy.
Ask, yeah, but you ask the universe?
Yes, well, I ask the universe.
How do you do that?
With my pendulum.
And how does your pendulum reply?
Well, I either get a yes or no. And, see, we're working with the angelic realm. And, you know, angels, they're non-denominational.
How is that different from those old black balls that you used to turn upside down? You know, and you would ask it a question and the little thing would come up. How is that different?
Well, black balls have more answers than...
Well, yeah, that's true.
The pendulum only has
yes or no. I'm after the concept thing here. Flipping a coin. How is it different than flipping a coin?
Well, that's the skill of the person using the dowsing. It's a skill.
So then flipping a coin might be as effective as a pendulum. It would depend on the person, right?
I think that's a stretch. But if it was a novice person, yeah, I could say I would put that in the same league.
I mean, presumably a coin flipping around zillions of times in the air before it comes down could be affected by the universe in a random way to give you an answer as easily as a pendulum, wouldn't you think?
I guess so, but, you know, I never did well in statistics. So.
All right, listen, hold it right there, gals. We'll break at the bottom of the hour. And we'll do one more segment with these gals, and we'll do some...
I wish them luck and fire. But he was gone, but still his words kept returning. What else was there for me to cry?
You know, I wish I could figure out what it is about this song that haunts me so. It's really unlike any other Presley song, any other song he ever did. Something haunting about it. Good morning.
Wanna take a ride? Well, call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
Incidentally, I should remind you one more time, we have pre-feeds going on now, right now, 3 hours before every live show, we have 3 hours of the previous evening's show. So notice to our listeners and program directors and all of you out there, 3 hours of the previous night show before the beginning of the live show. So that means we actually begin at 7 o'clock Pacific time. Check it out. Once again, Jeannie Porter and Diana Burney. Welcome back, you two.
Thank you.
Here's a question. If the universe decides with the pendulum whether or not you should proceed, Chris in Eugene asks, couldn't a malevolent spirit mess with the pendulum? How would you know that it's the good guys that are answering?
Because I have a column of light, and I have protection. I've got all the angelic beings around me protecting me, and I ask for only truth to come through the pendulum, and it hasn't forsaken me now for 10 years.
Well, that's a good answer, I guess. It's been reliable for 10 years now, huh?
Well, the other thing we do, Art, is before we even start, we always check to see that if we, either of us, need to be cleared, too.
Oh, you mean occasionally you two get fogged up?
Well, yes. We have had problems, occasionally. When we were doing work after the Dome of the Rock and we were working in Iraq, even though we had a significant number of people working with us, the energy was so intense there until our guidance was that we had to stop because we were getting constantly
attacked.
We didn't sleep very much.
Somebody didn't like the work you were doing?
Yeah. A lot of somebodies. Seriously, though,
really?
Of the entities, these very, very high-level energies that we're working with were actually creating problems for us.
So your work can be dangerous.
Well, it's high maintenance. Let's put it that way.
High maintenance.
Yeah, it can be very dangerous, actually, and that's why Diana's actually taught this in a number of states, and people don't continue because they have to maintain such protection every single day with their families and their animals and their homes. And that's a real situation. But this is what we have chosen to do, and it is our life. And we can see so much help as far as benefits for so many people until there is no other alternative for us.
And you've been doing this now for 10 years?
Since 1992.
What got you into it in the first place?
I went to Greece, and I got married in Greece, and during the ceremony, someone performed a clearing to make the ceremony more pure, and I liked the name of the word clearing. So when we got back to the States, I sought her out and learned her technique, and then I've totally changed it now over the years. It's had an evolution of its own.
But you found it in Greece.
It was an American person, but we were in Greece when I heard about it. Mm-hmm.
Found some interesting pizza sauce in France. But, I mean, that's quite a find in Greece.
Well, I wanted to tell you something, too. Speaking of foreign countries, I remember reading or hearing on one of your shows that when you went to Egypt, you were in the sarcophagus?
I was, yes, indeed.
Yes, I did that as well in January 92, and I picked up an entity there when I was in the sarcophagus.
You did?
Yes, and brought it back home with me. And
brought it home with you.
Yes, yes. I had a heck of a time getting rid of that.
I didn't learn how to do this yet.
You got it through customs, no problem.
It seems to slide through pretty well.
How do you know you brought an entity back? I mean, how do you know that?
Well, I had a lot of physical symptoms, which, of course, you could be anything from.
Worse yet, how do I know I didn't bring one back?
Well, I had some of the same feelings. I felt like I lost consciousness, and, you know, you described that feeling as well, didn't you?
It was a total body feeling that
vibration.
Really defies, it almost defies words, though. You'd have to spend a long time trying to define in words what I felt.
And it happened like in a nanosecond, too, didn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But didn't it feel like something you've already experienced before? Didn't it feel familiar to you?
No.
No, it didn't?
Nope.
I couldn't put my finger on it either. But when I got home, I was in the pyramid for 2 hours for a ceremony from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Really?
And when I got home to the States, I had a lot of gastrointestinal problems, which could be from anything. But I started having personality changes that people at work noticed.
Really?
And I was the boss. And so they started asking me some questions, and then I realized I had an entity, so I had to do a depossession. But I didn't learn this technique till 9 months later. So.
Oh, I know I've worked for some possessed bosses. I know I have. I mean, it's just like the evil comes out in them all of a sudden out of nowhere.
Well, that's kind of what road rage is, too. That's a lot of...
Okay, now there's another example that, unfortunately, somewhat refutes what you were saying earlier, that, you know, times are better. The road rage out there is unbelievable. People shoot each other. People, you know, at the very least, fling each other the bird, yell, scream, bump into each other's cars. Terrible things going on out there on the road, and it's getting worse, not better.
Well, I didn't say times were better, but I don't think one side is winning. I just think there's a lot of pressure.
Well, watch the news.
Okay.
I'm serious about that. You've got to watch the news. I know that you probably feel that negative energies are reported on the news, and they are, but they're, without question, increasing.
Yes, I agree. I do agree with that.
Oh.
That's why we developed this business.
And how's business?
It's extraordinary.
Booming, huh?
Yes. We have a lot of people calling us because their homes aren't selling. And we found some interesting things in the homes that keep them from selling. And one of them is an energy called divorce energy.
Divorce energy?
Mm-hmm. And if people are in a home that had bickering and divorce, even a divorce situation, but
yes,
constant violence or, you know, negativity,
yes,
then that's imprinted in the energy of the home. And the next people that move into it are just living in the same energy.
That makes sense.
And
that
so,
absolutely makes sense.
By the other token, there's cords. People can be attached to their surroundings, and when they try to sell them, time and time again, we've found out that somebody in the family is holding on to the house.
Now, this goes to a very interesting area. We were talking within the last couple of weeks about a new concept, one I've never thought of before, and that was living ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Not,
that's like a soul fragment, too.
Is it? In other words, people have been found to be creaking around on upper floors, opening doors, slamming cabinets, all the poltergeist kind of things that you would think about. But you know what it turns out to be? Mm-hmm. It turns out to be a living ghost. In other words, even though that person is gone, they were there for 10 or 20 or 30 years, and something of them is left in that house, haunting it as a ghost would.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard of that?
We call that soul fragment, but a living ghost would probably be
a rose by any other name would still be slamming the cabinets. That's really, really interesting, and I'm trying to figure out exactly what it means with regard to life and death. We think we have ghosts, and I guess we do, of those who have passed, something left, but then there's something left when people are alive, too. So does that take away from the vision that, you know, we've moved somewhere else when we die?
Well, mostly that isn't in all the cases, but there are people that do get attached to their belongings and to addictions, you know, and to their bodies. People get attached to their bodies, and part of them wants to stay. I don't think it's the whole thing. That's just my personal belief.
Well, for me, it's radios, and I can tell you after I'm gone, I sure wouldn't want to own any of my radios, because I'm going to be flying around in there for sure.
Well, Art, one of the things that we've discovered in so many of the homes that we work with, in fact, I have a great deal of compassion for the new homeowners, because now there's so many divorces that do happen.
That's right.
That a home that may be 25 years old may have had several families living in it that have actually ended in divorce.
Enough to kill two cats, probably.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's no laughing matter, actually.
Yeah.
But anyway, the other thing we find is, we, in addition to divorce energy, we find hatred, we find rage, we find terror, we find a multitude of energies, but some emotions, but some of these are very, very, very serious. Then I feel like, this is the way I feel, I would honestly like to see for any rental house or any house that's sold that it would be cleared, because I feel like at least clear the boards so that the next person coming in would be able to move in without having the energies, the resident energies from whoever has lived in it since the time it was constructed. And the other thing that's really interesting to me is occasionally, especially in the South, we find battleground energies on certain locations.
Yes.
And these are some of the most intense energies that you can imagine. Because you think about it, if people were out there killing each other with all the emotion and anger and all that they have and putting every single bit of themselves into it,
sure.
Think about all that emotion that may be there. And when we release that from properties, it is unbelievable as far as the release of those energies.
Well, I do believe it. And, you know, a lot of times when you buy a used car, people joke, you know, you're buying somebody else's problems. When you buy a used house, you're saying that you really are, in fact, buying into their specific problems.
Absolutely. And think about it. If somebody were into, let's say, very addicted or, you know, drugs and alcohol in a deep way, and they were, gosh only knows what they were into, and think about what they would have been bringing home regularly, there is no telling. You can't believe what we end up seeing and finding in homes that people have moved into. And then they're calling us because they feel weird and they just don't feel right about it.
All right, suppose I called you up and I said, look, I've moved into this house and everything's been hellish since I moved in,
mm-hmm.
including my life and my relationships and just my time in the house. It's not good. The vibes aren't good. Use a California phrase.
Yeah.
Vibes are bad. And
uh-huh.
So can you help me? Do you have to come to my house?
Oh, no, we don't go to anyone's home.
You don't?
No, we do it all remotely. And we never go to anyone's home. That's not necessary at all. Now, occasionally...
How can you specifically, remotely handle this?
Well, you know, it's just like the way prayer works for anyone. Or, you know, people can... That's been proven for many, many years that you can actually create change on the other side of the world by just focusing through your focus and intent.
All right. Then here's an opening for me to ask you this. Can you, this is, really, I want a good straight answer to this. Can you affect the actions of living human beings?
In what way?
Can you affect their actions? In other words, could you cause somebody to begin to think something was a good idea, for example?
No.
There's no way.
Everybody has free will. We can't influence anybody's thinking.
Well, there goes my idea with the politicians.
Well, the thing is, though, looking at it from another way, though, it is not a bad idea from another way, and that is that if the politicians who have been around shaking everybody's hand up and down the coast and across the world, they need to be cleared more than anyone, because think about, and they probably have the least amount of protection for any of these energies. So their auras are probably shredded. And one of the things we talk about with every person we work with is to make sure that they are aware of strengthening their auras, because that's their major line of protection.
And how do you strengthen an aura?
Well, one of the ways that you can do that is just by being conscious of it. And what you think about, what you do, actually those are the things, the activities that you actually participate in actually create problems for yourself.
Well, I believe in that too.
You can use visualization too. You can imagine that you're encased in a bubble of some color.
It's like your own personal SDI.
Yes, yeah. Prayer increases your vibrations. Meditation increases your vibrations. Positive thinking. Eating fresh, raw foods because they have vibrations. I mean, there's different ways of increasing and strengthening your aura, and at the same time, you're strengthening your immune system.
I would rather have a sagging aura than eat lima beans.
Well, there are other options besides lima beans, fortunately. But the other thing is, talking about the homes, we were just talking about the homes, one of the things, Art, that we found is, because we do a lot of work with medical centers, and we've done work with hospitals and places like that, nursing homes, we found that there are probably 3-to-1 ratio, at least or more, on discarnate beings to individuals who are actually in those places.
3-to-1?
Yeah, at least. Or more, and many times there are more than that. And so what I really, really would like to see is that people, clear out these energies. Because
I think if most people are honest with themselves, they know that they don't like the feel of a hospital. They don't like the feel of a nursing home.
And there's a reason for that. There is definitely a reason for that, because some of these hospitals or places that have been around, think about all the people who have passed away, all the fragmented souls and all the things that have happened there. And think about it, this. If you had to go to the hospital and you moved into a room where the last person had been, where they were terrified, and had all these emotions that had just been released, and there you walked in trying to be cool, calm, and collected about whatever was happening, it'd be almost impossible.
And there's a high likelihood that you're going to be in that environment, right?
Very high.
So you end up clearing a lot of places like that.
Well, actually,
do you have an industrial charge, a personal charge, right, for a clearing? Is there
We have a different charge. But the thing is, what we run up against is that so many of these places are so cost conscious that it's very, very difficult for them to find a way to provide these services. But I believe it'll be like getting your elevator serviced eventually, where you'll expect to have a certificate where, something's been inspected. I think that people in this country are waking up so fast until they'll realize those energies are there and they won't want their loved ones in those environments.
Yeah, it's like pay me now or pay me later.
Yeah.
Not advertising. All right, well, listen, how do people contact you, ladies? I know you have a website, www.earthrelease.com. We've got a link up to you.
Oh, good.
But what about a phone number if they need your services?
Well, it's on the website.
I know, but not everybody has a computer.
Yeah. Well, our phone number is
904-739-0735.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of the website, we have a quiz on the website so people can figure out if they need a clearing or not and if their business does. And we also have some examples of exercises that people can use to strengthen their aura and to help themselves with these energies.
All right. Once again, folks, because I end up usually giving this out later, and then people call offices and we go nuts. So take the number down now. It's area code 904-739-0735. Earth Release is what these gals are. Now, is that number generally a daytime number?
Yes.
Or can there be emergencies?
Well, we deal with crisis, but that is primarily a daytime number. I mean, we of course do get back with people, and we check it frequently.
Gotcha. All right, ladies.
We have a large clientele on the West Coast.
Yeah.
The haunted West Coast, ladies. I've got to go. We're out of time. I want to thank you both.
Well, thank you.
You both have a good night.
Thank you. We've enjoyed it.
Good night. The haunted way. I figure the West Coast would have more, huh? Probably in the grid somewhere. Haunted grid.
Of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach our at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to call out on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell, and we're about to head into open lines. Did you hear the news, top of the hour? More rolling blackouts later today for California. It just continues. The warm weather continues. It's getting warmer. In fact, soon it'll be summertime, and it'll be hot. And you've really got to wonder what's going to happen then. All right, we're going to open lines here in a moment. Just a couple of things that I wanted to run by you. Somebody sent this to me, and I thought it was really cute. These are ads that actually have run in newspapers, but ads that should have been proofread. For example, dinner special. Turkey, $2.35. Chicken or beef, $2.25. Children, $2. Dog for sale, eats anything, and is fond of children. Dog for sale, eats anything, and is fond of children. We do not tear your clothing with machinery. We do it carefully by hand. Mount Kilimanjaro, the breathtaking backdrop for the Serena Lodge. Swim in the lovely pool while you drink it all in. Or this, so simple. Stock up and save. Limit one. Used cars. Why go elsewhere to be cheated? Come here first. Wanted. Preparer of food. Must be dependable, like the food business, and be willing to get hands dirty. Semi-annual Christmas sale. Semi-annual Christmas sale? Scientists have now discovered that the purring of cats, this is new, folks, is a natural healing mechanism that has helped inspire the myth that they have nine lives. Wounded cats, wild and domestic, purr because it helps their bones and organs to heal and grow stronger, say researchers, who have now analyzed the purring of different feline species. This, they say, explains why cats survive falls from high buildings, why they are said to have nine lives. Exposure to similar sound frequencies is known to improve bone density in humans. So, the old myth about cats having nine lives has a foundation to it. The scientists from the Fauna, F-A-U-N-A, Communications Research Institute, North Carolina, found that between 27 and 44 hertz, a measure of the number of cycles per second, was the dominant frequency for a house cat, and 20 to 50 hertz for the puma, ocelot, cheetah, and others. This reinforces studies confirming that exposure to frequencies of 20 to 50 hertz strengthens human bones and helps them to grow. So there's an old wives' tale with an obvious grain of truth in it. Interesting, huh? I thought so. I've always wondered. It still doesn't exactly tell us where the purr comes from. I don't think that science knows about that. Oh, and by the way, for any hams out there, I know a lot of hams listen to I'm a Ham, W6OBB. Here's something I thought I'd heard of everything under the sun, but in Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Live Wire Group, an amateur radio organization, recorded the first liquid antenna to liquid antenna contact today. Liquid antennas are a new concept developed on the LiveWire group and are currently being experimented with by the group's members. A liquid antenna. Some of them are liquid pumpable to resonant lengths. That's really interesting. And by the way, the liquid contains salt, so it's conductive. And I suppose the more salt, the more conductive. But this really is a new thing under the sun. I had never heard of liquid antennas before, but I have now. Makes a person want to try one. Conductive liquid antennas. That is really wild. All right, anyway, open lines. Whatever you want to talk about is fair game. And let's go east of the Rockies first. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Mr. Bell.
Hello. Where are you?
This is Rick in Lexington, Kentucky.
Lexington, all right.
Yes, sir. You was talking earlier about George Bush and none of the presidents able to do anything about solar energy.
I don't know about able to. I said none of them have done a damn thing, yeah.
Well, maybe you should give more consideration to the secret societies, because if none of them can do anything, including Carter, maybe somebody else is pulling the strings.
I've always wondered about that.
Personally, you remember Jim Mars' book, Rule by Secrecy.
Yep.
I assume you have read it.
Oh, yes.
Well, what's your thoughts on the secret societies then?
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes I too have thoughts that there are people behind the scenes pulling the strings. But then other days I don't. So I'm not exactly sure what to tell you about that. Some days I really do think it, because things are so screwed up. It just doesn't seem possible that people are acting on semi-logic. You know, they're having their strings yanked. But I don't know. The answer to that is I really don't know. Some days I believe it, some days I don't. Then a lot of people think I'm in a secret society, that I am part of some secret society. And I might be. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Hi. I was thinking tonight while I was listening to Ginny and Diane that phenomena really are symptoms and symbols providing an opportunity to expand one's awareness about each of our hour's most profound relationship, perhaps.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I mean, all things that don't kill you make you stronger, something like that.
I think they were missing it, though, so Art, you are definitely to radio what Fred Vail is to New Age conventions, I think, by this time.
I know Fred Vail. I'll take that kindly.
Okay, well, have a good evening.
All right, you too. See you later. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Mr. Vail?
Yes.
Yeah, hi. I just had a story to tell you about a few encounters I've had with paranormal experiences.
Have you now? I don't know if we have time for a few. Pick out your best one.
Yeah, I have one ready to go.
Go.
Okay. It actually happened about 5 years ago.
Now talk right into your phone, please.
Okay, I'm actually on a cell phone. Sorry about that.
Okay.
I was 18, just graduated from high school, and I was actually at a friend's house, my dad's friend's house, and I get a little nervous when I tell the story. And she was really big on religion, mostly like a Christian religion.
Yeah.
And she was going on about the Bible the whole night. And at that time, I was about to go to the Coast Guard in a few months, and I really wasn't into a set religion. So the whole night, she was going on about how I should get into a religion. And that night, I went to bed in her daughter's room. She was away to college, so they had an extra room. And I actually said prayers for the first time in about probably 6-7 years.
Why?
Because of what she had been saying, kind of, I guess, sunk into me.
Scared you?
Kind of scared me, yeah. Mm. So in my prayers, I remember asking, you know, if there is a God, if there's some type of higher power, give me a sign while I'm sleeping. Went to sleep about 10 o'clock. About 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, I was awakened by all the dogs in the neighborhood barking. And the two dogs they had actually ran all the way through their backyard up to the back window to where I was sleeping and stopped. And basically, I was awakened, but I was in a kind of like a paralysis state where I couldn't move, but I could hear. And I was sleeping face down with my head in between two pillows.
This doesn't sound real godlike.
Yeah.
I mean, why would God paralyze you?
It was definitely a scary feeling. Heart was pounding immediately. Like I said, it was a paralysis state.
Yeah.
Head in between both of the pillows, arms resting on two pillows. And both of my arms and hands started shaking back and forth. And the upper part of my torso actually was starting to elevate above the bed.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And I couldn't move, and I could barely talk. I actually could whisper the word stop. In the name of Jesus, please stop. As soon as I did that, my body fell back to the bed, and I actually heard the dogs in the neighborhood barking in the opposite direction. I mean, I'm talking like miles down the road.
As though something was leaving.
Right, exactly.
But see, all of this came to you. Why? Because you prayed and asked for a sign from God. So how do you reconcile that?
Yeah.
What kind of sign is that?
Right. I was hoping to ask those ladies the question.
Sounds to me like God said, okay, I'm going to paralyze you and have the dogs eat you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wanted to share. I've actually got a lot of other incidents throughout my life, actually with extraterrestrials as well.
Well, we'll have to hold it to that one. I appreciate the story, but make a person afraid to pray a little bit. You get that kind of an answer. Okay, wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Wow, I actually got on. Amazing. I'm glad to have 2 hours.
What is this with cell phones? Doesn't anybody out there have a damn rig or a telephone anymore?
Well, this is supposed to be the high-grade digital, but I'm sorry to say,
you should hear
closer to the mic.
You should hear the echo coming, all the echoes coming back. It sounds horrible.
Car speakerphone.
Oh, turn it off.
Okay.
Pick up your cell phone.
Well, let me just...
Jeez.
Can you hear me now?
That's better. Now at least we don't have the echo.
Well,
I was bouncing off your rear mirror or something.
Well, it's actually not a moving vehicle. It's an RV parked.
Okay, well, same. Anyway.
Okay, I wanted to ask in regard to power.
Yes.
You have batteries that store the energy that your solar collects and your wind collects, right?
Yes, that is correct.
What kind of batteries are you using?
Sealed gel cell batteries, 20-year batteries, just like the telephone company uses.
Lead acid?
No, I just said sealed gel cell.
A wet chemistry, lead acid, nickel cadmium.
You don't know what a gel cell battery is?
Yes, there's lots of them. Nickel cadmium is one chemistry, lead acid is another.
Yes, they're not lead acid, or they couldn't be sealed that way.
Yes, they can.
Well, I guess they could, but still there would be a danger.
Do you have to fully discharge them before you charge them?
Yeah. No, these are not that type.
Oh, then they're lead acid.
Yeah.
CL is now available in every chemistry, including your cell phones, if they're a good cell phone or not. Lithium ion.
Oh, yeah, lithium ions can drive good and bad cell phones.
Yeah, but I have to say that I'm at a weak signal strength area right at this moment, and that I was using the car speakerphone adapter to get the higher power, which comes to the 13.8 volts.
Yeah, but it also sent an echo. You should have heard the echo of my own voice coming back.
Well, I can imagine, because I've played myself a voicemail of the echo.
There you are. It's like torture.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry to say. I should have called analog. I could have switched to analog, but I didn't get it in time, and I was so glad to get through.
I understand. Anyway, the fact of the matter is...
How many watts are you capable at maximum sun of producing solar only?
You mean just direct charge to the batteries?
Yes.
I can produce about 4 kilowatts.
4,000 watts
yes.
on direct sun
yes.
aimed perpendicular.
Yes.
4,000 watts.
4,000 watts, yes.
Where you are, you probably get that 4 hours a day.
Well, it depends. No, I get, I'll tell you, I get that from about, I go out there and I watch it, and I get that from about 9:30 at this time of year. We're about to change next week, you know, we'll have daylight savings time, but to about 3:45, 4 o'clock, something like that.
Oh, so we're talking, say, 7 hours.
Yeah.
So even more as the summer goes on.
Oh, obviously, yes.
Unless you get hit by a global superstorm.
All right, sir. I appreciate your call. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, Art.
West of the Rockies, call toll-free, 1-800-618-8255. No, see, I got to chop that out. I can't let you put your call letters on the air because that would identify where you live and all the rest of that. So we don't do that. You're a ham. Let's put it that way. And you're where?
Okay, located northwest Pennsylvania.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I've sent you a couple of pictures, some facts, some information about an anomaly that I have found over east of Dayton, Ohio. And you gave me your home address where I sent pictures to. And last time I talked to you, you said you did not receive them.
No, however, we've gone through the mail. I now have a mountain of mail in my living room to go through. Literally a mountain of mail. So it's in there.
Well, actually, this was probably last July.
Oh, God.
That was
in that case, you're right. I don't have it.
That was delivered supposedly by FedEx overnight.
Hmm.
And
what was the anomaly?
The anomaly was a thing that you announced from a fax from a couple of gentlemen that were in Dayton, Ohio, a couple of college students that said that they were seeing a wagon wheel in the sky. And I have...
I don't remember that.
Well, it was on the air. You announced it. And
yeah, that's entirely possible.
And
it's closing in on me, sir. I'm forgetting things.
Well, I do have photographs of that. And in the meantime, I have contacted pretty much every credible scientist on the face of this earth that can so far not tell me what I have here.
What do they say?
That either they do not know what I have or cannot tell me what I have or will not tell me what I have.
Well, I probably would have culled out wagon wheel in the sky pictures for sure. So, you know, I don't remember what you... The first thing you were talking about, and I definitely don't remember seeing wagon wheel in the sky pictures. So, all I can say is I guess you're going to have to try it one more time.
Well, I've emailed you quite numerous times.
You can send the photos in email?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Do it again then, and put wagon wheel in the header. You know where it says subject? Just put wagon wheel pics, all right?
Okay.
And I'll look for them. ArtBell@Mindspring.com. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. This is Larry in Seattle.
Yes, Larry.
Hey, I just attended a seminar with Dr. Scott Pearl. Eric Scott Pearl?
Yes.
He was on your radio show here several months ago.
Yes, he was.
And it would be great if you had him back on. What a phenomenal experience that was.
And what did you see him do?
Well, I met a fellow that 30 days prior to the seminar was terminal cancer in a wheelchair, and the doctors were checking him out, and I spoke to him, shook his hand, and talked to him.
And you saw him healed?
I didn't see him healed. I saw the results of him. I talked to him personally.
And well, I'll tell you, that's why I had him on, because I don't rule out the fact that people can heal other people. I believe that there are people who can heal. I don't exactly know what it is, where the power comes from, or anything else. And a lot of them are not necessarily at all religious people. They just seem to have the power to heal. Their hands will heat up. The person being healed will feel the heat. They'll actually feel the healing take place. It does seem to be true. And he is one of the ones that seems to be real, so I don't know what to tell you.
Well, he's also showing other people how to do this, and that's remarkable because it's the people that were involved in the seminar, I've been in contact with them, and they're starting to get results, too. Probably not as dramatic as Dr. Pearl, but
yeah. Well, I will. All right, I'll tell you what. I will consider having him back on. I still have the contact information for Dr. Pearl, so I will definitely. By the way, if you want to see some uplifting spirits, check out the picture of the XFL cheerleaders that I put on my website. It's still there under What's New. I like the XFL. In fact, I've got a few words I want to say about the XFL in a few moments. But if you'll check out that picture, you will find many pretty women. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM. Stay right where you are.
Pretty woman, walking down the street. Pretty woman, the kind I like to meet. Pretty woman, I don't believe you, you're not the truth. No one could look as good as you. Mercy. Pretty woman, won't you pardon me? Pretty woman,
on a western bay, and it serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this harbor town, and she works laying whiskey down. It's a brandy, such another round. She serves them whiskey and wine.
Wanna take a ride? Call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at area 75-727-1222 or call the wildcard line at 775-727-1295. To talk with Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
By the way, speaking of women named Brandy, a blonde woman named Brandy finds herself in dire trouble. Her business has gone bust and she's in serious financial straits. In fact, Brandy's so desperate that she decides to ask God for help. She begins to pray, God, please help me. I've lost my business, and if I don't get some money, I'm going to lose my house as well. Please let me win the lotto. Lotto night comes, somebody else wins. Brandy again prays, God, please let me win the lotto. I've lost my business, my house, and I'm going to lose my car as well. Lotto night comes, and Brandy still has no luck. Once again, she prays, my God, why have you forsaken me? I've lost my business, my house, and my car. My children are starving. I don't often ask you for help, and I've always been a good servant to you. Please, just let me win this lotto just this one time so I can get my life back in order. Suddenly, there's a blinding flash of light. The heavens open, and Brandy is confronted by the voice of God himself. Brandy, work with me on this. Buy a ticket. All right, as many of you know, I am a football fan. I like the NFL, and I like the XFL. And I think I'll make my request for the NFL first. Number one, I think the Raiders deserve a new stadium. I wanted to say that. Number two, I wanted to say that I need a new Raiders cheerleaders calendar. Last year, the Raiders cheerleaders signed a calendar for me and sent it to me. And my year has run out. And I need a new one. God, they've got great-looking cheerleaders. Plus, I love the Raiders. So, if anybody out there has control of cheerleader calendars, I really want one of those. Really want one for this year. Having said that, I'll probably now erase the possibility of my getting one. I'm a fan of football, and that includes the XFL. And I think the XFL, I just wanted to say this, is getting a really rotten. And they're getting it from the sports media. They're either being ignored or attacked by the sports media. Bob Costas on HBO the other day just really tore into Vince McMahon. I thought really unfairly. I'll tell you, I bought season tickets to the Outlaws here in Las Vegas. and I go to their games, and that's how I got the cheerleader picture. And they're playing good football. They are playing their little hearts out. And aside from the, you know, the flash that the XFL is putting on it, when you get right down to the game, it's good football. And I think that the XFL is being treated unfairly by the whole reporting sport. You don't even see CNN doing, they don't even give the game scores. I mean, they're really being ignored. Now, some of it may be their own doing. They came out pretty hard against the NFL when they opened up. I've noticed they've lightened up on that. It's a good thing. They don't need a war. Football is good. And if the XFL succeeds, it is not going to hurt the NFL. It's just going to mean that football fans have more football to watch. And I say again, these guys are playing their hearts out. They're really playing good football, and it's getting better all the time. So I hope the public gives it another chance. Some sports writer back in Ohio somewhere, I can't remember where it was, wrote this article saying he knew that the XFL was going to fail when Art Bell said he liked it. Which I thought, how can you get a cheaper shot than that? How can you possibly get a cheaper shot than that? Anyway, for what it's worth, these guys are playing good football. So, if you haven't been back for a while, go back and check out the XFL again. It's good, pure football with a few changes that, by the way, I think the NFL might want to consider. Like the human coin toss. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
How comforting it is to be hearing your dulcet tones again.
Well, thank you. Where are you?
I'm on the Chesapeake Bay, and I'm listening to you on 84 WHAS Kentuckiana.
Oh, that radio station just goes everywhere.
It's so nice and sharp and clear.
That's WHAS Louisville, 50,000 circular watts.
It's absolutely a beautiful signal all night long.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, I can't solve the California energy problem, but I do have some interesting news about the lima beans.
Oh.
I hated lima beans, dry, hard, dusty, flavorless, like eating crayons and chalk.
It is like chalk, yeah.
Until I met my future wife-to-be, and her mother made lima beans, and I expected the same horrible thing, and I found something that was totally different. The best thing I can say about them is that it didn't even taste like lima beans.
Well, what does she do, irradiate them?
She cooked them in a big pot with a big hunk of meat, like a roast or a ham or a leg of lamb.
Yeah.
Boil them for about 4 hours. And
in other words, boil the lima bean out of it.
Until it picks up the flavor of the bean. It's real soft and smooth, melts in your mouth, put some butter on that. It's not healthy at all. No vitamins, but boy, it doesn't taste like lima beans.
Well, yeah, but see, there you are. It's not healthy at all. It's not like eating raw lima beans.
No, I think they can probably try and use some alternative fuel out of that.
Try and imagine a raw lima bean covered with chocolate.
That's hideous.
That's hideous, is right. Dr. Lorraine Day sent me a whole box full of chocolate-covered lima beans.
Oh, ain't she thoughtful. That girl loves you.
Yeah, I know. All right, sir, thank you.
Thanks, good night.
Yeah, take care. Lima beans, chocolate covered. If you look at the webcam photo, you'll see me holding up my box of chocolate covered lima beans with a specially made box from Dr. Day. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay.
Are you fed up with hearing things about red eyes at all?
No.
I wanted to tell you something that happened. It's been a few years, but I was walking to this little newspaper job one time. Oh, by the way, I'm in Portland.
Portland?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to tell you about what happened here.
What happened?
Well, I was walking down the road at about 1 in the morning, and now there's a bunch of condos and stuff built there, but it used to be a big pasture, and then walking down the road there about between midnight and 1 in the morning, and there are a couple of glowing red eyes out in the middle of this pasture.
Glowing red eyes in the middle of a pasture.
And this thing was growling at me, and I just about freaked out, and...
What'd you do?
I walked away very, very slow. I couldn't move fast. I still think about it, and I can remember it like yesterday.
Well, at least this is somewhat better than the story I usually get. Well, I was really curious, so I went out into the pasture.
Not me.
See what the red eyes were.
I kept walking. I didn't get free. I don't know. It was not like I could run. I didn't even want to run. I just walked and kept walking and walking and walking. I did not look back.
Any idiot knows that glowing red eyes are bad.
Oh, this thing was just evil. I mean, there was a growl to it, too. It looked like a hump of just what I could see against the... It was real late night, you know, it was dark, and it was by the fence. It looked like a hump, like a pile of something with eyes in it. It was
probably
really,
was a pile of something with eyes in it.
Something that I didn't hang out to find out.
Now, I don't like glowing red eyes, sir, and I appreciate the story. And I also appreciate the fact that you walked away. By the way, here's a 2051 headline. Dick Clark to host 2051 New Year's Eve celebration in Times Square. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Yes, you know, I was listening to, from Park City, Utah, off the internet.
Really?
And you had a caller just... not too long ago that was talking about Dayton, Ohio. I'm originally from Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, he was the one talking about the wagon wheel, right?
Yeah, and,
you know, it occurred to me that he said that was in June or July.
Well...
And June or July, sir. I wasn't on the air in June or July.
No, I'm glad you're back.
I couldn't remember it, and now I know why, because it wasn't me.
Right. I've been probably listening for a few years, and this is probably the first time I ever called, only because... When he mentioned that, my brother had mentioned to me something. I'm a very scientific person, a metallurgist from Wright State University, and I'm pretty tactile, pretty scientific. I have to see it, touch it, feel it.
That's me too.
And my brother had mentioned that there's a campground not too far from Dayton. I think it's southeast. I'm not sure. It's called Fort Ancient. It's or Camp Kern, actually, and it's near an old Indian burial, because that's where the Miamisburg Indians, the mound builders, are all in that area. But the only reason I wanted to call is because he had mentioned that he had seen something late into the night, very similar about that, and I realized that you've got Wright Patt Air Force Base right there.
That's
Project
true.
Blue Book,
yep.
All the things from the 70s, and that's where a lot of experimental airplanes are probably being used. I used to work on the base as a citizen, so I never would be able to get into any of those, you know, neat little areas, but I wouldn't doubt it if it was something military, especially with Wright Patt Air Force Base just being right there near Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah, but a wagon wheel?
God only knows. Like I said, I'm a touch-it-feel-it kind of guy. My brother said that he'd seen that, and this was probably about 10 years ago, 10 or 12 years ago.
Mm.
He was quite younger, and I asked him, first thing I asked him was, were you drinking? Were you on drugs? And,
sure.
You know, of course not. Middle of the night, and he had mentioned different colors, and so I don't know if he said wagon wheel, but when that caller said wagon wheel, that just... That really rang a bell.
Well, hopefully the caller will send these photographs to me and I'll get it on.
It'd be interesting.
Yeah, I appreciate your cooperation. Thank you.
Oh, you bet.
Right, take care. From Reuters News, a Ghanaian man was shot to death by a fellow villager while testing a magic spell designed to make him bulletproof, according to the official Ghana news agency. Alarigba Abima, 23, and around 15 other men from Lambu village, northeast of Ghana, had asked a juju man, or witch doctor, if you will, to make them invisible to bullets. After smearing his body with a concoction of herbs every day for 2 solid weeks, our nomination for, no doubt he's going to be a nominee for a Darwin Award, volunteered to be shot to check and see if the spell had worked. One of the others fetched a rifle and shot him. He died instantly from a single bullet wound. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hey, Art, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, sir.
Great. This is Dave in North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
First caller to you, but I have called before when Ian was on.
Yes.
Does that qualify me to use 800 numbers now?
Well, it qualifies you to be using the first time caller line for me. But then after this, you will have to revert to the 800 lines.
Oh, very good. Okay, just wanted to go by the rules properly and
thank
all
you.
That. Yeah.
Thank you. So few have regard for the rules these days.
Yeah. Well, I'm a fellow ham, and of course I enjoy that with you sometime when that might be feasible.
10 meter FM, 29.6.
Okay.
That's where I go.
Very great. We'll try to work you sometime. Also, I'm a retired airline pilot.
Ah.
And, Yeah. Interesting life. Very interesting.
Well, how many years did you fly?
Almost 30.
30 years.
Right.
What kind of aircraft?
The Boeing 767, the 757, the Boeing 727,
mm-hmm.
the 737.
Boy, you really did fly a lot, didn't you?
Oh, man, yeah. The YS-11, the Fairchild FH-227, the F-27,
oh,
the Martin 404, and the DC-3.
Wow. And for a total of how many hours, probably?
Oh, right at 24,000, 25,000.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere along there. So I've had a lot of sky time.
You see anything?
Well, years ago, when radar wasn't quite as good as it is today, we used to have a few reports, you know, when we were solid IFR, of what we have contributed to phantom targets. ATC may say, well, do you see anything off your left wing at,
right.
You know, maybe 3 miles or something, and we wouldn't, but of course it was IFR, so you couldn't see 3 miles, and if it was there, we wouldn't see it, but back in those days, the older radars, sometimes you would get a phantom target beside you.
That's
so.
All you think it was. You never really saw anything you could not explain.
Oh, I imagine yes. Probably.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, but nothing that I would be concerned over. And you put that many years and that much time in the sky, you're going to see a few things from time to time anyway that you'll never really quite be able to identify, but. Nothing that was ever alarming or alerting. So, and with the sophisticated equipment that we had on the 767, you know, TCAS, things of that nature that would register other airplanes along your path.
But isn't it, with modern aircraft, in a way, isn't it less likely to be seen on radar because you're using transponders for the most part? Radar is a backup to the transponders. You're using, as you mentioned, TCAS and other warning systems, proximity warning systems, and so forth and so on. Isn't that less likely to see something than the old radar?
Actually, the new radar, being a digital radar, yes, it is less likely. It looks more for a digital or for a encoded return than it actually does a physical reflection.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, TCAS and other devices of that nature, it likes digital responses more than it does just core targets.
Uh-huh.
So, anyhow, try to really nail something down with the new equipment versus the old equipment and considering the technology change, right now I would have to give a little bit more thought as to whether I really could think back and say I saw anything that was very disturbing. But what I did see,
yeah.
is how we're all concerned about the energy crunch. Back in the 70s, I used to fly the New York route for, a year or two or three, regular. And when we had what I call the phony fuel crunch, where there was supposed to be no more fuel in the world.
Talking about in the 70s?
Yeah. You know, I would be letting down.
Well, it wasn't that there was no more fuel in the world.
Right.
They were ticked off at us and they cut us off.
Yeah, Art, I'll tell you. You could be letting down and going into the LaGuardia, and you would actually see ships out on the horizon.
Oh, I know.
You know, maybe up to 50 or 60 with all their lights on, waiting off in the distance,
yep.
to where no one could see them until the price went up. And then they would come in, dump the fuel. Go back home crying, no more fuel, but give us all the money you can give us.
No, I know you're exactly right, sir. I wouldn't for 1 second dispute that with you. And there's still all kinds of price manipulation going on, and there's still oil out there. And yes, we can go to Anwar and perhaps should and drill. They've done it safely on the North Slope. I don't see why they cannot at Anwar as well. But what I'm angry about is the fact that at the same time we're doing these short-term things, we're not even talking about the long-term, even talking about the future. And if our leaders have any responsibility at all, It's to be concerned about our future. That's what leadership is. Look ahead. And if you see a problem, deal with it now. Be a leader. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Art.
That's me. Turn off your radio, please.
It is off, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is Don in Hillsboro, Oregon, about 20 miles west of Portland.
Yes, Don.
And I was just calling about Dr. Jonathan Reed you had on the other night.
Yes.
About the alien in the freezer.
Oh, yes.
The scream that the alien let out, doesn't that sound to you a lot like the scream that Bigfoot lets out?
Yes. Not exactly the same, but the high, screechy, incredible, bone-chilling scream is somewhat similar, yes?
Right. And when I heard that, it was more of a muffled sound, but the scream you had of the Bigfoot, my gosh, that sounded exactly like this, like that scream.
Yeah, they were close.
And another thing I was wondering about, you remember Steve that used to call in a long time ago when you were on before you went off?
Time Traveler Steve?
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought he was pretty interesting, talking about the Commandant and how Kennedy was killed and stuff. Do you think he really knew anything, or what's your opinion on that?
I don't know. I that's an honest answer. I don't know whether he really knew anything. I'm sure that if we do a Time Traveler night, Steve will pop up.
Yeah, because the things he said, I mean, he didn't even stop to think about them. They were just popped right off his head, you know, just right now. Everything just...
Yeah, I agree with you. So either, you know, either on the one hand, he really was giving us information he knew about and was just able to give it, either that or he rehearsed like crazy.
Right.
One of the two.
Okay. Just one other quick thing. I know you could probably got to go now for
a break.
Yeah,
we got a break coming.
Okay. Everybody I talked to about the chemtrails,
yes,
they don't have time to listen to the tapes. They're not interested. They don't have time. Nobody has time anymore.
Well,
isn't that strange?
Yes, it is, and they better make time because it's a happening.
I hear the drums echoing tonight. She hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:35. Moonlit wings reset the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way.